All right, welcome to another episode of the Guy Code. I am Rena Oswere. Now, on this episode, we have a special guest with us. He's best known for being the author of the number one best-selling book in Nairobi 2022, and I believe 2023 right now. His name is Jacob Elliott, author of The Unplugged. Jacob, how are you doing?
I'm doing well. Thank you so much, Rene.
So we are so happy to have you here. And the author of the book Unplugged, the book is such a profound book. It has changed so many lives. We can see from the reviews, hundreds of reviews, you will say. And definitely it has changed so many lives. Both men and women have gone through it, and they have really shared how it has transformed their way of thinking and their way of living. Now, let's get right into it about unplugging. We're going to be talking about the six stages of unplugging based on Rollo Tomassi. These are denial, anger, bargaining, depression, acceptance, and the sixth one he just added was jaded, being jaded. So let me just start from the beginning. The first one is denial. When you wrote this book, and I believe when you wrote this book, you expected the different kinds of feedback from different people. Some thought that that book was maybe it's not relevant. Some say, what you're talking about doesn't really exist. It's maybe only exists in the West, certain communities. So my first question is, why are many men still defending their femicentric narratives that you grew up in, the blue pill narratives? Why are men still defending that?
One thing I came to appreciate is that the gynocentric social order, it is so, the way it starts, it's very insidious and very smooth, because the way we pedestalize women, it actually starts by pedestalizing mother. Because your mother is your caregiver. She's the one who you suck her breast, she nurtures you, she gives you food. She's the one who wipes away your tears when you come home crying from bullies, or when you feel your dad is very harsh, it is always mother. So that's why you find so many kids, when you're growing up, if someone insults your mother, you're ready to fight and die for that kind of an insult. So that is why it starts with pedestalizing mother, and that's why we place females on pedestals and we want to defend them and think of them as these very nice, cuddly, and caring and loving creatures. And that is the kind of mindset we walk with into marriage and relationships. And then female nature hits us in the face.
It actually does, and that is such a profound point of it starts from how we grew up, from pedestalizing our mothers. Of course, when you say, oh, your mama or mamako, it always starts a fight. Compared to Babaka, it's like, okay, who cares? He can fight his own battles, you know? And just based on what you've just said, why is it that maybe most men are still delusional with it, that when it comes to relationships, that everything should fall in place, in that I have just said that we pedestalize them and we see them as very, feeble creatures that they need to be protected, need to be pampered. And they're thinking when they read your book and they're saying, hey, the female nature, I'm like, no, that can't be the female I grew up with or the female I think I'm dating. You know, she's a princess, she's a queen, she needs to be coddled. And why is it still that delusion of, oh, female nature happens, but hey, that can't be us. So some even ask, well, who are you guys dating? That those women don't exist.
Okay, most of the times it's the women who ask that question, who say, by the way, these women we are dating. We call it NAWALT. I don't know if you've ever heard of NAWALT. NAWALT means is an acronym for not all women are like that. So it's just like sign language, shame, insult, guilt, and the need to be right. So there is NAWALT, there is FOMO, fear of missing out. So NAWALT is the acronym we give to people who say, which women are you dating? But most guys resonate actually with what I'm saying, because most guys who have been in relationships have been done dirty, they have been left, they have been betrayed, and most guys have always had questions, and And Plagued answers those questions about female nature, about why they were left, why they were dumped, and so on. So the only people I've seen who are pushing back or who are still resisting are either very old folks, very old folks who are either men who are kept by their women, or just guys who have been raised by their single mothers or by their mothers, and they are still in that phase where they feel they need to protect their mothers. So they feel the narrative is actually speaking to their mothers, and they are not in a position where they are ready to accept that this is who my mother is. So they are still defending their mothers.
Oh, that's actually good. Still goes back to the blue pill mindset that starts from the nurturing, from being, the mamas who are being nurtured, like, oh, my mama can't be this. She can't have the capacity to be this conniving, be this manipulative. But the truth is, it's actually in there, and we really see the root of all this denial. The first stage is the blue pill. Nurturing of when it comes to even just the family, the mothers. And now when we go to the second step of anger, when these men are finally done dirty and the anger that comes within them, they said, hey, how could this happen? Everything I was taught growing up is not working out anymore. My mom told me just be the nice guy, be the romantic, buy flowers, give her everything she want, and the women will be running after you. But it doesn't work that way,
I
So,
think I need to step back a bit so that we can string it up together. When you're looking at denial, normally the denial you are talking about is we want to talk about men. The denial men are men. What men are denying is the idea, for example, that there's a soulmate, the idea that a woman can love you unconditionally. Men struggle with that because men are romantics. Men really struggle when you tell them that no woman, the woman only loves you for her survival purposes. Men struggle with that. Men cannot understand that, all these things that you thought was love, blissful love. Love, it is nothing like that. It's just opportunism. So men struggle with that. That is the denial part. And then now the anger comes when these guys realize, okay, you mean I've been living a lie all this time? You mean all these stories that have been fed, they have all been lies. I've been living a lie all this time. I've spent all this time and money investing myself in this woman. You mean all this thing has been true? All this been have been lies. So that is where the anger now comes from. So the guy is really, really mad. Sometimes you're also mad at yourself, but most of the anger is the anger towards women. Like, you say these women are hypergamous. They think they initially hypergamy. Many guys treat hypergamy as an evil thing. So they say, women are hypergamous. They are just they are hoes. They cannot love me for real. The women are snakes. Women are. So that's where even the MGTOW thing comes in. So there's a lot of anger there. You're angry towards women. You're angry at the world, and you're also angry at yourself that you are so wrong, that you are lied to. Or you're angry at the society.
And that's a very good way to tie it all together, is that it starts off from the childhood where you grew up, where you witness and what you are told, the narrative you decided to take in. And now what happens is that you experience life and you're like, wait, what do you mean nice guys finish last? I expected the nice guy, the good guy always wins, because I was told, oh, the good guy always gets the guy. But hey, I'm the nice guy and I'm finishing last. How come? It doesn't make sense. It's not what I, believed growing up. And unfortunately, many guys get to learn this lesson when they've invested so much time and effort. And the good thing is that through these conversations, we're telling them that you still have a chance to regain yourself, regain your frame, and have another lease of life, and become more realistic. Because there's one thing that I've noticed you always say in your book, and also when you are in such conversations and fora, you say that women are realistic. The men are women are usually idealistic. We project, oh, that's a princess, that's she's my wife, she but women are realistic. Women are like, can he provide? Can he take protect my family? Does he have the genetics that I would want to reproduce for the next generation? We are more, idealistic, projecting, oh, that would be a good wife. Yeah, she's, riding the carousel right now, but I see a wife in her or something like that. So let's can you speak on that? On the also the delusionals.
For the okay, men are romantic. I only call them delusional, but it is women now who are delusional in terms of the expectations that they are having because they've been misled by the media. Actually, women are also blue pill. Like blue pill, the blue pill for women is when women are told that their sexuality is evergreen. They think that they'll never grow old, that they will always be sexy, and the people will always want them. They'll always be attractive and all that. And then, when they hit their mid-30s, late-30s, 40s, then they realize nobody wants to marry them. Nobody is interested in them anymore. They realize they're becoming invisible. And then that is when now they also become very bitter and disillusioned. But in terms of being romantics, I think we carry, of course, some of these romantic ideas or romanticisms, we get them from popular media, from novels, from movies. And they're about, there's a special person for you. There's a special one. There's also the idea that there's only one woman that you need to find that is going to make you happy. And then there's also the idea that, it is normally men who cheat in relationships, and it is men who mistreat women. But when you love a woman, the woman will love you back. If you treat her like a queen, she'll treat you like a king. So things like those are the blue pill ideas that we carry. But women know very well that when a woman meets a man, all the women ask them, including their mothers, that what does he do for a living? They zero in immediately on the facts. But
What does
men
she look
don't
like?
do such things. Yeah, what does she look like? Is she beautiful? And so on, not notwithstanding the fact that, of course, beauty decays and things like that, but men want to romanticize the idea of relationships. They don't want to be very practical. Ideally, the man should be asking, does she can she cook? Can she take care of a household? Can she submit? Things like that. Is she a virgin? Is she having children? But guys just go into, does she is she beautiful? Does she have a big ass? Things like that. So men go into a lot of romantic and silly things, but women are very, very practical. And of course, you see that when guys lose their jobs and how they deal with the guys who don't have status and guys who are not respected in the society, women also don't want to be part of those guys.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. And actually, it brings us to the third stage of, bargaining. Because I'm sure with the platform you have right now and the one I have, you can say for sure, and definitely you're not putting anyone on blast, there are some men who actually come to the platform and ask you advice, but you can see they're trying to bargain their blue pill narrative,
Yes, yes, yes.
This lady I've just found, she's very submissive, but she rode the carousel when she was 20, 25. Maybe she had two, three abortions, but she's very submissive right now. She goes to church. Can I still wife her, or is she a lost cause?
Yes.
So how do you deal with those who are trying to bargain with the red pill? Okay, yeah, but is she a lost cause? Yeah, she's very submissive. Yeah, she likes to party and drink, and she has girls trips every weekend. But she's a good cook. She goes to church now. So it's like, how do you handle such narratives or the bargaining, those who want to bargain?
Yeah, the beginning, of course, it happens a lot. But you see, you have to remember that red pill is about awareness, but blue pill is about conditioning. So when you're conditioned or indoctrinated, it takes a very, very long time and a very conscious effort to actually unplug from this blue pill conditioning. So I see a lot of bargaining, like guys, for example, will tell you, of this woman is a single mother, but she's good, and or you'll say that, I have a neighbor who has married a single mother and they've never had an issue. Or they'll tell you that, Okay, she's like this, but you know, she was abused as a child, or she grew up in a single mother household. So maybe that is why she's like this. So they think like if you love her, it's going to take away all the flaws and the red flags and the weaknesses. So that's the kind of bargaining. It's like guys don't want to let go. They don't want to confront. I normally say in my book, I've said they don't want to embrace the cold hard truths. The comforting lies are just so nice and warm. They don't want to let them go. So they'll tell you, but what if, and I've also seen this, I've seen that. So guys will tell you, you know, I have a neighbor who has not worked for so number of years. The wife is the one who works. So maybe even if you don't have a job, a woman can still love you. So things like that. So the bargaining is there. And a number of times, you know, we normally say that the stove that burns teaches best. Some guys need to get burned before they really realize, okay, this is how female nature is.
And I think that's one of the toughest lessons and the best lessons some of them will have to change their lives. And it is a very life-changing moment to, and it's a turning point when you actually accept the red pill and say, these are red flags and you have to deal with them, not, cover them or put them under the carpet. It's not like a weighing scale where it's like, okay, she can cook well, but she has this habit, let's brush that off. It doesn't cancel out like that. And based on this realization and these experiences, when they try to, maybe balance out and try to still hold on to the kind of beliefs that they've grown up in. And like you said in the beginning, that female nature hits them in the face and they're proven like, we tell them, bro, these are red flags to stop pursuing, but they don't listen. They go out, they get burnt, like you've just said. Now they get burnt. It gets to the what? The anger, not even the anger stage, maybe the depression. What's it called? Yeah, the depression, where this idea that has been trained of, oh, I don't believe any love anymore. No one can tell me about love. I don't believe. So that's the depression stage. How can we say we should tell men to deal with female nature when it manifests in that way, when they're now hit with it and like, you know what, forget love, forget women, MGTOW, black pill even. So
So, depression, the way it manifests itself, they catastrophize what they have experienced. So they make it now a catastrophe. You know, women are evil. Women are bitches. You know, women should be destroyed. Women should be killed. You know, things like that. So MGTOW and the black pill and the doomers. Rolo Somali likes calling them the doomers. So that is a depression bit. Guys want to stay by themselves. They want to jack off to porn, and they think of buying dolls, these inflatable dolls, so that they screw the dolls and things like that. So they now that is where now you have now it becomes now like misogyny, where someone hates women. That is how it manifests itself. And also, what happens is at that point a guy doesn't he lacks coping skills. They don't know the kind of skills they need to equip themselves so that they can cope with their new reality. You know, like now, fine, women are hypergamous. So how what do you do about it? They don't know what they can do about it. Then they feel that the best thing to do is to walk away because they don't have any tools to deal with the new reality. So now it comes in form of depression. They are giving up, and many times this is where you get the school shooters. You know, the guys who go to school and shoot so many people. Yeah, so that is a form of the depression where you have the incels, the involuntary celibate guys. They decide, you know, since I can't have any woman, let me kill all of them. You know, that is how this depression plays itself out.
And it's very sad when this takes place where men are like, you know what, it's not even worth it. Let me just stay alone. And actually, in the country, one person who went fully, was it MGTOW, was Lord Egerton himself, his story. When he tried to build the castle and the princess rejected him. In fact, his story is just a whole red pill case in itself, from one itis to how he went
By the
black
way,
pill. Yeah,
exactly.
it's a whole story in itself. And it really shows that even money doesn't only make you, money isn't the only thing that makes you high value. Also another question that.
Yes, absolutely. Just like the case of Will Smith, you know, even Will Smith, when he was slapping Chris Rock, it's a form of depression because this guy, the life has been a better male, and he's been he has sucked up to his wife so much that now it's like his mind is eating on him now. It's now turned on him. You know, it's like a disease that is now feeding onto you instead of being, because you can't get rid of it, now it's eating you up. So those are all forms of depression now.
And from Will Smith to these other celebrities, you know, even the likes of Johnny Depp, who are getting female hate at them. If Bill Gates, Jeff Bezos, you've actually talked about it in different interviews, where these ladies are, you're wondering, okay, what will they ever be happy? Will they ever be content? Because it always seems like it's more, 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 and their happiness is like an ever, you know. It can never be filled. It's a pit that can never be filled. It's an ever never ending abyss, rather. So it's something we really need to take into account as we are definitely taking in the red pill and getting unplugged. And maybe the going to the a more positive stage is the acceptance. And you just mentioned on this last point on men who are depressed and they're learning about the hypergamy, the solipsism, and they don't know what to do about it. They don't know what do I go from here. So they just throw in the towel. So maybe on this point, what can you say they should do about it? Instead of, you know, moping around and said, you know what, it's not even worth it. Forget it. What should they do? What is the appropriate response?
You know, once you understand what women want, you know, and what hypergamy, why we have hypergamy as a mechanism for survival, then it actually is a good thing, because what you realize is that these are all forces for sexual selection and removing or weeding out the weak genes from the gene pool. So any man who is willing to embrace his masculinity and to take up the burden of performance is generally going to do well. You're going to get women, you're going to get access to sex. So the only thing guys need to do is to, you know, you need to be the full package, as you normally say. Fresh and Fit have been talking about this. You need to have money, you need to have game, and you need to have muscle. So game is social skills. You need to be articulate, you need to be confident, you need to be able to approach a woman, and then you need to have some muscle, go to the gym, work out, be physically fit, have the so-called V taper, because that also is a show of genes and show of ability to protect and also be aggressive. Because again, if you are not muscular, it's very, even if you are aggressive, whatever aggression you have can be shut down very easily. And then of course you need to have money, so you need to build some career, you need to have a skill set that is going to be to give you some money, okay, so that you can be able to provide for your family. So in general, if you are willing to accept the ma traditionally masculine roles in the society, you are generally going to do well. The challenge you have is guys who realize all this and then they give up and they are lazy. They are living with their parents. They're not willing to move out and become productive. They are shy. You know, they are socially awkward. They have no game. They can't talk to a woman. They can't talk to a girl. So when you are like that, of course, then you become invisible, as Andrew Tate likes to put it. And when you're invisible, you're never going to have access to sex. And of course, if you can't have access to sex, you become frustrated and you become crazy and you're thinking of trying to kill people.
Yeah, and that's exactly how you're supposed to respond. And also one thing you always say, and I think that's at the core of the book, Unplugged. Definitely, guys, if you don't have a copy, you should definitely get one. You say, put yourself as your mental
Mental
point of
point
view.
of origin.
Yes, that is the very important focal point or primary point of how you're supposed to start off. There's some men who say, of course, you know, it seems narcissistic to say that. It seems selfish to say that. But the truth is, and you've mentioned it in other fora where everyone wants the winner. You know, women wait at the finish line. It's something we all know. They wait at the finish line. if you don't have the ambition to place yourself at the finish line, definitely you, like you said, you don't have access to those women and access to the options. You just stay, at a place where you can't even spread your genes to the next generation, and it's a very sad thing. So
Yes.
it's really ties into all of this. And
Yeah.
maybe as we've gone through these stages, and of course the last one is jaded, and jaded we have covered in these other points of, those who might say, or maybe you can just touch on it a bit, maybe in finalizing just the stages. Jaded, those who are saying that, how you're saying, well, I need to work on, Jacob, how can you say, I need to work on my muscle, I need to work on my game, I need to work on, what do the women do? How come it seems unfair? The women just have value. I have to build my value. I have to work so hard. And those are the jaded ones. Those are the ones who say, you know what? It's so much work. How come they don't need to do work? They have value. They born with it. I have to work so hard to go to the gym, to learn game. What is game? I don't know what game is. For those who are still, I would say lazy. Lazy to put in the work. Lazy to really accept reality as it is, that yes, we have to build our value, and it's not fair, but they were born with value. So how do you respond to them? Say, oh man, it's not fair.
So the answer I'm going to give it can be sound very sexist, but it is a truth.
Yeah.
We don't work for women.
Yeah.
They, when you're working hard, when you're making yourself, when you're taking up the burden of performance,
Yeah.
you don't do it for women. Women are part of the rewards
Yeah.
of what you do. And that's why we normally talk about high value men exercising their options.
Yeah.
Men don't cheat. Men exercise their options. It is women who
Exactly.
cheat because women are supposed to invest themselves in one man.
Yeah. Yeah.
But when a man works hard, having access or having options, women options in terms of women is part of the rewards.
Yeah.
But it is not what you work for. It's just the same way.
Yeah.
When you work so hard, then you can buy a car, you can get a nice house.
Yeah.
But the car is just the rewards of your hard work. The
Yeah.
when you're flying first class, that is the reward of your work hard. So when you get also a woman, that is supposed to be the reward of your hard work, but it is not the goal.
Yeah.
So these guys who feel that why aren't women also working hard, nini, those are guys who are still they're still fixated on the
Yeah.
equality kind of mind or framework,
Yeah.
because we're not equal to women. And as we normally say, pressure was made for shoulders, not for hips.
Yeah.
So in terms even of the burden of performance, it's not supposed to be the same. We have more testosterone, we have larger frames, men have more muscle, we are faster, and we are able to do more work than women. We don't get tired as quickly as women. Women, the purpose women have, I had someone put it today very well, it's factory built in
Yeah.
them. They come with a womb. So
Yeah.
the women's purpose is to have children and to nurture them.
Yeah.
But a man can create any purpose for himself. Okay? He's not biologically tied to a particular purpose. Men, actually, we are apex predators. We are beasts of burden. We can do so many things. We are creators. We are inventors. We are so many things. But women, the way their purpose is, it's factory built, it's inbuilt in them. And that is why they have what we call baby rabies. You've heard of baby rabies?
Yeah.
When the women now feel they must have children, that's why they have a biological clock that starts ticking because it
Exactly.
is tied to their purpose. But men
Yeah.
don't have a biological clock
Yeah.
because our purpose is beyond our biology.
Yes.
So the complaint or the idea that, oh, why aren't women working also so hard? That just shows lack of understanding. So we are not supposed to compete with women. We are supposed to be working hard, chasing our purposes, and then getting women as part of the reward, so that we can create our own legacy and spread our bloodline. That is the whole idea.
Yes, exactly. That's a great way to actually wrap up the whole conversation on the six stages of unplugging. I hope definitely the listeners have been able to get a lot of insight. And of course, we always say that you need to put your purpose first. You do it for your purpose. You don't do it for women. You don't put women as the goal. They are a result of the success you get when chasing your purpose and chasing your own, self-improvement, which is an ever, growing journey. And Jacob, just thank you for joining us and appearing on this episode of the podcast to share your insight on unplugging.
Yeah, thank you for having me. So once, of course, it's ready, then you'll share with me the link and I can share with my followers.
Definitely. And thank you
And
guys for.
keep up the good work. I'd also like guys to know my book
Yeah.
Unplugged is available at Nuria, but they
Yes.
can also find me on Jacob Aliette. I use Jacob Aliette on Facebook,
Yeah.
and I also have Unplugged VIP. I have a TikTok now and a YouTube page also that is growing,
Yeah.
so they can subscribe and also follow me.
Definitely. Thank you so much, Jacob. We'll actually look forward to getting the links also in the description as we publish this episode. And thanks again, Jacob, for being on this particular discussion. And until next time, guys, we will talk soon. Bye.
Guy Code with Rena Oswere.